Item 15, striped bass.
Good afternoon. We're going to tag team this a little bit. Joe Griss put together the PowerPoint. There are some multiple items for striped bass. However, one concerns establishing, as we do each year since 1997, the Virginia portion of the Bay-wide quota. And I think there's been a little bit of uncertainty with the harvesters as to, you know, really what is going on this particular time around. There is a 14% reduction. That has raised some concerns by our commercial harvesters, and that's fine. Staff had an inkling from the Fishery Management Advisory Committee that something was amiss, and I think what we found out were a couple things. One, there was a thought on the part of some commercial harvesters that Virginia had the ability to essentially do what it wanted for striped bass. That's not the case. We have an agreement with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources and with the Potomac River Fisheries Commission that stems back to 1996, just in advance of the 1997 fishing year. It's the Bay-wide quota. As history, it was not an easy thing to get in place, but what you can see in a little bit is that it was to Virginia's benefit to be part of this Bay-wide quota. It actually took three separate Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission meetings to establish that Bay-wide quota in 1996. We kept on getting block voted out by the northeastern states, and eventually they said it would be fair to have a Bay-wide quota. As part of the Bay-wide quota, each year we use the harvest control model, and that's really what was approved by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. The harvest control model has really been around since 1989, and Maryland used it when the moratoria were over in Maryland and Virginia. They had the harvest control model. Maryland came out of the moratorium with a much higher quota than Virginia and other states, I will add. However, the management board at that time at ASMSC approved the harvest control model. It took a little while, but finally the Potomac River Fisheries Commission in Virginia by 1996 joined up with that approach, and we've been doing that ever since. So first of all, one thing to make clear, it is an agreement. It is a Bay-wide quota. It's three jurisdictions joined together. The Potomac River Fisheries Commission has already adopted the 14% reduction for 2013. We understand today from Maryland, they've already sent letters to their harvesters, and they will implement the 14% reduction. Now, as far as what is required by the ASMSC, Joe Grist and I called the coordinator for the ASMSC, and granted, this person does not have a lot of experience and background as others may have. And her comment to us was, I really never understood how you set your quotas. Well, she was sent the harvest control model because that's what we're held to. If the harvest control model increases or decreases, then as far as the harvest goes, that's essentially what the three jurisdictions have to go with. To make it very simplistic, the harvest control model is nothing more than the ratio of the current fishing mortality rate, which is established by tag and recapture of striped bass each spring by Maryland and VIMS, and it's also the last year's harvest, 2011 harvest, multiplied by what's called Delta ESB. Delta just means change, so Delta ESB is the change in exploitable stock biomass, that's what ESB acronym stands for, from one year to the next. Now, when we look at what's available to be exploited in our fisheries, in Virginia it's 18 inches. So It's the exploitable stock biomass that starts from 18 inches and goes up. And so it will involve several year classes. And what you're going to see is that lately, except for 2011, a lot of the year classes have been poor to average. And that's wherein the 14% reduction stems. So here, and I'll come back to that a little bit, but it really is very straightforward situation that Maryland developed years ago. You can see the quota proposed for 2013. You can also see how we started out. We actually started out in 1997 with the same quota, and all the way until 2003 we had the same quota. Well, that was not something of the jurisdiction's doing. It was actually the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission went through a time in between their amendments where they froze regulations. And essentially they froze us at this 10.5 million pound bay quota, which is for commercial and recreational for all three jurisdictions. So combined, those six fisheries are allowed 10.5 million pounds. As soon as Amendment 6 to striped bass was completed, we had to then actively use our harvest control model, and you see what happened. There was a decrease in 2004, increase here, pretty much stayed the same, another increase for 2008 and 9, and then the decreases started. And they haven't stopped since 2009, essentially, although we were able to hold fast for 2 years here at 8.8 million. You can also see the harvest for the bay. All six fisheries, recreational and commercial in each jurisdiction, have not caught up to the bay-wide quota yet. If it does surpass the bay-wide quota, then the jurisdiction and the fishery in that jurisdiction where there's an overage would have that payback. So from 1997 to the present, that has not happened. There have been some close calls, 2006, uncomfortably close between the harvest and the quota. The other thing that we're held to in the bay is the fishing mortality rate. We have to keep our fishing mortality rate or our removal rate under 0.27. That's never been a problem except in 2001. In 2001, we actually got a little bit above that, but it was mitigated by the fact that our harvest had been low. So it really is a joining of three factors: the fishing mortality rate, the previous harvest, and this change really in the strength of year classes as measured by the Virginia Institute of Marine Science and the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. So this gives you a more elaborate display of all our changes since we reopened in 1990. Our moratorium in Virginia lasted from June of 1989 until November of 1990. Maryland had a moratorium that started in 1985 and ended in 1990. You can see back in the good old days, they weren't too good. We had a very small quota, 211,000 pounds, for the entire state, coastal and bay. And you can see once 1997 was here, we had an additional 23% increase in quota by going along with the two other jurisdictions in a bay-wide quota. And then you can see what you just saw, the changes. What you see here is we did have a 12% decline in 2005. All three jurisdictions decreased their harvest by 12% and were able to slowly climb back a little bit. 2006, a 3% increase. 2008, a 6% increase. And then, as I mentioned, the last few years have been declines. So there have been ups and downs, and that's what the harvest control model will do. This may help to understand what's going on currently. If you go 1 year back, 1989 was a good enough year class that it opened the entire coast in 1990. The 1989 year class, it used to be back then a rule of an average of 8 striped bass per tow for 3 years on average. Well, 1989 was so good that everyone was able to reopen along the coast. And so if you look at how our fisheries go through time, you can see that by the time we got to 1997, we didn't have the 1996 year class because it takes an 18-inch fish to be exploitable. That takes minimum of 3 years, although probably 70% it's 4 years. But what we did have, if you go a few years back, we had the 1993 year class. That sustained things pretty well. That was such a large year class. It was larger than 1989, the largest year class ever, and that was able to be fished on in 1997 and several years after that. You probably saw on the table a little bit that 2002 there was a decline in the harvest control model. Well, if you look, all of a sudden you do have a pretty big drop off, and in 2002 that is going to be what you're doing a little bit in 2005, but definitely in 2006. So start at 3 years back, really 4 years for 100% of 18-inch fish, and go back 5 or 6 years. That's what's fished on each year. That's your change in exploitable stock biomass. Right now we're in a situation where we really have this for 2012, the lowest that has been around for a while. It's not part of the 2013 fishery because they're only going to be one-year-olds in 2013. In 2013, you have to go back to 2010. You get partial amount of those fish in 2013, and then you see what else you have to fish on in these green bars. A fairly low situation, and that's really what's driving this 14% decrease. You notice you don't have the benefit. They're 10 years old. The 2003 year class is 10 years old in 2013. There's not going to be a lot of 10-year-old fish in the harvest compared to these groups of fish, which are younger. So you don't have the benefit of that large year class. Maryland, same situation, maybe even a little worse. Here's 2012, just for your notes, so you can kind of look forward. If things are a little rocky now with the exploitable stock biomass, 2012 is not going to help by the time 2015 and 16 roll around. And I will point out, though, here's 2011. By 2015, all those fish will be 18 inches or larger, some in 2014. So that's something to look forward to, because that in Virginia, that's the largest year class. That's larger than these other year classes we looked at. But we're not there yet. We'll have to wait till at least 2014 and all the way to 2015.
So let me just interrupt you, Rob.
Yes,
as a result of that 2011 year class being so large,
right,
while the quota is going down this year, you would expect it to come up in either 2014, 2015, and of course it's also going to depend on what 2013 looks like. But,
right. But
unfortunately, we get this up and down pattern because we're stuck with this harvest control model. But if you want to find a ray of hope or a little bit of good news, I guess 2011 number will eventually result in some increase in quota.
So far, in tracking year classes from 1989, these large year classes have made it into the fishery. What you have to consider is most of these fish are an inch and a half to 4 inches. So a lot can happen until they're 18 inches. There is predation, there is natural mortality, things can happen. But yes, this year class in 2011 should help to offset the problem we're seeing now. And in fact, this year class in Virginia and in Maryland is probably one reason the commissioner will tell you the ASMSC held up with putting out a public document that called for reductions in fishing mortality rate up to 40%. Back in 2011.
Well, let me expand on that.
Okay.
The ASMSC has been looking at these numbers. They look at them every year. And in 2011, they were looking at them, and they didn't have that 2011 number yet. And they said, you know, we've got a problem here with the stock. These juvenile abundance indices are not good. And they actually started a coastwide amendment to reduce all commercial harvest along the Atlantic coast by 40%. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were facing. Fortunately, that 2011 number came in just in time, and we were able to convince them to hold off on that. But now, look at 2012. we're right back down, you know, one of the worst year classes ever. And I'm a little bit worried that ASMFC is once again going to say, was 2011 just a fluke? Do we need to consider some additional action? And, you know, we'll, that'll remain to be seen. But, you know, I guess there'll be a stock assessment update here soon that will look at this and everything else we know about striped bass before they make that decision.
That is right, and I'll show a slide or two about that in just a second. We are living by the year classes. This puts them both together, and you can see they're on different scales for the surveys, but Maryland was about fifth highest of all time. VIMS was the highest, and that was 2011. So you can see, just looking here, just following the pattern, that Maryland is definitely in a low point compared to where an average basis might be. The VIMS average is right about 7.8, I think, somewhere right in here.
VIMS or Virginia? Virginia? Virginia or VIMS?
Well, VIMS does the survey. It's Virginia, but VIMS does the survey and has since 1967. So we're hooked at the hip, just like the Code of Virginia. So, you know, you can see the patterns there. This is interesting because, you know, the bay is so important. The Chesapeake Bay is such an important producer that in the lean years, when things weren't going too well back in the 80s, the bay was probably 95% of the coastwide production. You've got a little bit of contribution from the Albemarle Roanoke stock. You have some contribution from Hudson. You have some contribution from Delaware. And you have the major contribution to Chesapeake Bay. Even today, it's about 75%, 70 or 75%. There might be some arguments there. What you see here, this is all the coastwide surveys, the recruitment surveys together. So all the ones I just mentioned are put together, and you can see what's going on here. This is a low point. You really are in a low point. As a matter of fact, the only other lower point is back here right before moratorium were put in place. And this isn't meant to be shock value. This is just to say that that's what the recruitment is showing. And that's one reason that the ASMFC Management Board was presented last year with a situation that the spawning stock biomass may go below the safe level as early as 2017 if this type of recruitment keeps up. It's the recruitment that drives everything else. This shows you a little bit of what has happened. The 80s, very poor. This is coastwide now. Just consider a large contribution as the Chesapeake. We've got some peaking out right here. On this axis is the total abundance in thousands. So these are actually in millions. You're looking at about 65 million fish here. If you look at this axis over here, it's just the abundance in blue of the 8 and older fish. So it's on a different scale. You get up to about 9 million at its peak around 2005, 2006, it looks like. And then we have a decline in coastwide abundance of not only the fish that are 1+, age 1+, the small fish up, but also the brood stock, if you will, or the spawners age 8 and older, which is this blue line, light blue line here. The commissioner just mentioned a stock assessment process. Something that's happened in the bay, whether you can put your finger on it exactly because it's mycobacteriosis or it's other factors, this is meant to represent what has happened to natural mortality. In other words, removals not from fishing, but from all other causes. And one thing that will be looked at in the assessment is a regime where natural mortality is set higher than it typically has. Typically, in the models that have been used since 1996, natural mortality has been about 0.15. You can see up here it's around the 0.8 area. So that could be something that'll be looked at as well, because the problem with natural mortality is if you have total mortality and you put a large amount of it towards natural mortality, then that takes away from what you have for fishing mortality. So these are all things that will be part of the stock assessment, I think it's supposed to be complete in 2014, or if not sooner, probably the start of 2014. Here's what we talked about earlier, exploitable biomass, which is nothing more than those young of the year, grown up, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you name it, year classes, and you can see what has happened. Exploitable stock biomass since 2002 has been in a downturn, and the commercial allocation has somewhat mirrored that, especially these last few years. Different scales. This is the quota allocation in millions of pounds. This is the exploitable stock biomass. It's an index. So, I think Joe Grist is going to go into the measures, and I just wanted to present that to you. We have received probably, I know of 7 phone calls from commercial harvesters, most of them from the Northern Neck area or close by or upper Rappahannock, and they report seeing small fish, 4 inches, which won't be available for a couple of years minimum, 16-inch, which could be part of 2013. You know, some of those will grow in. In general, I think probably there was also a thought that this wasn't advertised very well. And I guess when you see slides where you saw what happened in the past, where there was a 12% reduction and there were increases and harvesters never really provided input, I'm not sure what we should have done more to advertise it. It was on last month's agenda, so it went out to the newspapers, for example. It went to our website. But I think in general, when fishermen see fish, no matter what size they are, they rightfully have concerns when they also see there's reductions coming for 2013. So we understand that. I know Mr. Jenkins is here and several others. I talked to Mr. Jenkins last week at length, and I know he has concerns, but I really have to stress that we're the third jurisdiction out of 3 that needs to make a decision, and the other 2 have already made the decision to take the 14% reduction. No one on staff, no one on the commission wants to see reductions. That's very understandable. That alone, the harvesters want to see reductions.
Rob, talk just briefly about being out of compliance with the Atlantic States provisions. What does that mean?
Out of compliance is where you never want to be. We're very proud in Virginia. We sort of wanted to challenge that completely at one time. If you go back in the past, there's been talk even recently about that. Out of compliance, what happens is the ASMSC would have no choice if you didn't comply with the plan but to render a finding of non-compliance. That would actually go to the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of Interior. However, it's the Secretary of Commerce who I believe has 30 or 90.
I think it's 30.
30 days to provide a finding. If that finding is against the state, then recreational and commercial fisheries for that species in that state are shut down.
Correct.
There's a moratorium. And I have seen states test the waters. New Jersey a couple times tried with several things. North Carolina tried to test the waters. Within a matter of a month or so, they're right back in compliance. I've never seen a state get to the point where it was judged by the Secretary of Commerce to be out of compliance. And I should mention, because we're focusing on the quota, that the recreational fishery benefited greatly from the harvest control model and from the Baywide Alliance, as did the commercial. And that, you know, there have been some overages there as well, but it takes a Baywide overage to really have a problem. So a non-compliance finding is something that would be disastrous economically, socially, and it's, I think you'd hear this in other states. I think you'd hear the same thing.
Thank you. Yes, sir, Mr. Sessions.
Question, just for my edification.
the Baywide quota is established by what entities?
By us, along with Maryland DNR, along with the Thomas River Fisheries Commission.
But it comes out of the harvest control model.
It was voted in 1996 as an allowable mechanism for us to have a Baywide quota. So there's a Baywide quota, which is the amount of pounds for all the jurisdictions. There's a model, which was approved by ASMFC, the harvest control model, that is run each year to look and see how the Baywide quota changes.
So you were talking about compliance. For us to be out of compliance, we're outside of that model.
Yeah, if we thumb our nose at ASMFC and say we're not going to use the model, we're going to keep our quota where it is, then you go back to ASMFC and they ask Virginia why they didn't do it, and they vote you out of compliance, your fishery gets shut down.
So the Baywide quota of the $7.5 million is based on that formula that you were mentioning that's been approved by the ASMFC.
Correct.
Okay.
Not only approved, but made requisite for having the Baywide quota.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
A little bit. When you think of an 8-year-old fish, how many inches long is something like that?
You could be as small as 28, 29 inches, as much as 34 inches, somewhere in there. There's great variability.
Okay.
And there are, this is mainly a resident situation, but everyone knows that there are some fairly large fish in the bay. But in general, the big year classes are the 4 to 8s, 4-year-olds to 8-year-olds.
Okay.
All right. Now,
one more question.
Yes,
one
sir.
More question. In thinking that through, how do the other states come up with their quota? Is it combining 3 or 4 states at a time? Do they have the same model as we do, or
they
how does that
have
happen?
The exact same model. They have something similar. Back in 1996, the other states went to their version of a harvest control model, which a lot of them, what they've done, such as New York, Rhode Island, some O2, for example, look at a spawning potential. So they will transfer weight for the amount of spawning potential that they think they can produce by having different sizes. And so, for example, Rhode Island for years had a 32-inch minimum for their commercial fishery. But recently they want to adjust that a little bit, but the only way they could do that was to provide spawning. So they're along the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
When Amendment 5, which is the First Amendment, which was the restoration amendment for ASMFC, and the stock was declared restored, that had a coastal waters harvest control model, if you will. It was very similar. It was based on fishing mortality rate. It was based on some level of biomass. It was based on some previous harvest. So very similar, but it was for the entire coast to use.
And their formula is approved by the ASMFC also.
Everything was approved by the ASMFC, and then any changes have to be approved by ASMFC.
Okay.
To change anything. So, for example, I recall that Massachusetts, when I pointed out earlier that regulations were frozen for a few years, Massachusetts was stuck with a 32-inch size limit for its recreational fishery, but more importantly, it was stuck at one fish. And it could only be 2004 when they were able to have 2 fish.
All right. You have other parts of the regulation?
Yes, this is just part of the 3 or so that we have today.
Let me just make one little small correction. There's 10 pounds. Okay. Here we are. All right.
Yeah, just as with the horseshoe crab item, there's a lot of detail in the regulation changes pertaining to this item, so we want to make sure we cover everything. Along with the establishment of the 2013 recreational commercial quotas Rob's covered, which would be 1,230,110 pounds for each. We divide it equally in Virginia, 50% goes recreational, 50% commercial. We are also looking at one of the provisions of opening our commercial striped bass season earlier and opening on January 16, 2013. Currently, the season runs February 1 through December 31. But in the very early part of the season, right when we start off at February 1st, there's about a two-week window in there that a lot of, especially the gillnet fishery in the lower bay and in the coastal fishery, which is a separate fishery from this with a much lower quota amount, they run into problems with the marine mammal protection plans, sea turtle protection plans, harbor porpoise protection plans. And what they do is they put a lot of different tending requirements first on gillnets, and they also close down complete areas to the gillnet fishery. That's an awfully short time period when the fish are available right here and a lot of watermen cannot get out to get them in that two-week period. If it's bad weather or something, they miss that opportunity completely. And then they have to hope that those fish show back up in December in that area to get a chance to fill out their quota. So in response to that, and this has been a longstanding request of industry that staff has finally been able to find a way to make happen, they've been trying to get at least an additional 2 weeks in January to give them a little bit of a break and give them a four-week period early on ahead of the marine mammal standards. And we found a way to make that happen. So this would not be increasing the harvest allowance. It's just giving them more time to do fishing. So it works out. We took this plan, specifically the January 16th opening date. Our FinFish Management Advisory Committee endorsed it over the summer after a series of meetings with them. We then took it to the Striped Bass Technical Committee and the Striped Bass Management Board of ASMFC, and they have also endorsed it and approved it. So we have the necessary approval to make the season adjustment. And as Rob indicated, just about anything we do here, we have to get ASMFC's approval when it comes to season and harvest. Some other items. Quota transfers. Well, in order to do the logistics of changing the season up, there's this, and I'm going to spare y'all a lot of things we've covered before, but there is just this logistical nightmare that goes on with staff year-round to run the striped bass management program. And they usually needed January to be wide open and no fishery so they could finish accounting for the previous year and get ready for the next year. And that includes putting together somewhere in the neighborhood for 2013 156,000 tags that are individually packaged for 400-plus individuals. That includes their permit, their tags, and everything else. Staff literally take this room over, and they do nothing but process tags for a week. So to buy the time, staff the time to do some of this work in the fall, what we're looking at is changing our transfer system a little bit to do this. So what would that mean? We would allow temporary and permanent quota transfers to run from February 1st through September 30th. Currently, it runs February 1 through November 30th. The minimum quota transfer amount would be 500 pounds unless a transfer is for 100% of an unused permanent share. And what we mean by that basically is we're not looking for situations where someone comes in, they fish part of their quota and says, well, I want to transfer the entire share off so they can have half my quota of fish now and all of it next year. That is basically an accounting nightmare for staff to keep up with. So it would have to be 100% of an unused amount of quota. Someone hasn't gone out yet this year. They want to transfer the whole amount. And we put that in place because there are some people who hold only like 200 pounds of quota. So we didn't want that 500-pound cap to have an impact there. Currently it's a 200-pound cap. We wanted to bring this up a little bit. But we also, knowing that by ending transfers early, there is a situation that does happen occasionally if someone could harvest over their quota, not always intentionally, and we want to give them a chance to take care of that. So from December 1 through December 15th, allow a temporary transfer period of quota, allows these individuals who may have had a quota overage during their season to transfer quota for someone else who hasn't used their quota and make up the overage. That way they don't suffer an individual penalty during the following year. Another thing, this is part of our discussions with the FinFish Committee that came about, was gillnet restrictions. Over in Chapter 751, there is currently gillnet restrictions that have to do with mesh size and season. But there's also a special little provision that was built in for the striped bass fishery where you see here it goes January 1, March 25th of each year. It's unlawful for any person to place stretch mesh size between 3 and 3/4 inches to 6 inches in the size of specific tributaries, except that during the month of February, any legally licensed fisherman may place that net from 5 inches to 6 inches in stretch mesh. Well, what we need to do is take that time period of February and actually have it start January 16th and run through the end of February. So we're just adding the 2 weeks there as well. The defined areas in the James, York, Rappahannock, and many other rivers are defined in Chapter 751. That was included in your evaluation package. So we would need to extend this stretch mesh season during that time period. So staff's recommendations overall. Establishment of the 2013 quota. These were found on both page 5, which was recreational, page 13 of your draft chapter. Open the commercial season on January 16th. That was on page 4 of your draft chapter 252. Allow temporary and permanent quota transfers as I described from February 1 through September 30th. Allow temporary transfers December 1 through December 15th. And extend the gillnet stretch mess season in the tributaries starting January 16th, ending at the end of February, and that is specifically over in Chapter 751 on page 1 and 2. This was advertised for public hearing, Commissioner. We had no public written comments to date when we sent out the eval package, and we haven't received any since then.
Okay.
But the phone calls did happen.
Any questions of Joe at this point? All right. This is a public hearing. Who would like to be heard on this issue? Yes, sir. France, how are you?
Hi, my name is Wayne France. I sit on the Shellfish Advisory, Fin Fish Advisory, and Crab Advisory Committees here. And I'm also president of the Twin Rivers Watermen's Association. And, of course, I'm here to say that we're totally against the 14% reduction. We are the best controlled, I'm talking about the commercial fishery, and the best in compliance with catch reports and buyer's reports and tags. I think 2 years we've gone over our allotment quota out of, was it 22 years we've been doing this? I think so. I think it comes to like 110,000 pounds. Recreational fishery? 3.5 million pounds. You know, I think there was an article in the latest National Fisherman from VIMS stating that we didn't need a reduction, that the stock seemed to be fine, and it could, with last year's recruits, it should be all right in the future, and we didn't need a reduction. I know along the Nominee, when I tongue in October, you could pull your tongs up and there would be 20 to 25 small rockfish about this big that would come up under your tongs. Fish last year in the Rappahannock, around the middle of March, we had a perch net out. I think it was like 3 inch or 3 1/8, something like that. And I know in a 300-foot net, it was every size rockfish you wanted. We'd discard them, turn them loose. And I worked for VIMS also the end of March through the 1st of May, fish nets up there for them. 2 weeks later, we set nets up there for VIMS, and there was no rockfish. The most we ever caught was 400 pounds. So I think our assessments and looking at rockfish and where they are and how many they are has a lot to do with the time, the date, the water temperature, salinity, and different things. Because the year before in the same area, working for VIMS, we could load the boat out of one net. And I would just like to say that, you know, I think that with the increasement of recreational fishing, I bought my boat up the Rappahannock yesterday from Reedville. There was at least 70 boats in the channel fishing, whereas 10 or 15 years ago, you've been lucky to see 7. And with the increase in rockfish and the increase in the popularity of recreational fishing, we need to come up with some kind of way to control them. And there's nothing wrong with recreational fishing. I love it myself. I love to go fishing. I love to take my family in the summertime. But we need to get a hold on what's going on in the recreational fishery. It's really hurting the commercial fishery because it's taken away from us every time it comes around to a small recruitment or something. I believe if we could control the recreational fishery, we could see a lot better stock assessment of what we have. It would improve. And And also, you know, if we have to, if the state has to take a reduction in its quota, with 3.5 million pounds being caught over in the past few years by recreational fishermen, it looks like we could take some of that and add back to the commercial fishery and find a better way to control our recreational fishery. Now, we are the most in compliance, and we seem to get the hit as commercial fishermen. It's not a recreation to us, it's our livelihood. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Who's next? Anyone else?
Yeah.
We'll give you time. Yeah, I've been sitting here since 9:30 too.
I know you're young.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Has a lot of paperwork, so I brought a little bit on it. This is an article from the National Marine, the fish is from the Science and them, Mary, who have a tag, and you don't have any time with those tags. This is for. So you've seen some of this,
okay.
Rob. If you haven't seen it from me yet, I just want to say this guy is doing. I'm going to put it on Rocky. Thank you to the commission. That was it for hearing me today. Guess y'all wanted to vote Jim Smith, the president of the Virginia Waterman Association, his land down in Florida on the beach, basking in the sun.
Yeah.
We've been corresponding a little bit, and some of the things I told him, I've known Ken a long time, I won't tell you all here today because it might be a little harsh, but him and I do have a common link concerning the fishes, and we joke with each other. You know. We'll give you all a minute to go over that scientific report, which VMR depends on so much. I mean, I've been down here, I know, for, go back when Bill Prin appointed. Matter of fact, I was on the steering committee that helped appoint Bill Prin to the commission. He stayed here 20 years. I've never been here to a meeting yet where there was an increase in quota of anything or a decrease that we didn't have in the scientific field sitting right over here. And I don't see that later that day that made this report that you all rely on. She said there wouldn't be any need for a decrease in the quota. But that's, I think, a very important point. In the past, when I addressed this board, Bill Pruitt, Steve Bowman, was sitting up there where Commissioner Travis is sitting. And if I made a statement that Jack disagreed with, he would shake his head to Bill and Steve like this, back behind me here. And I'm sure he's going to train Rob to do the same thing. But I got people back behind him, watching him. So, you know, he better shake his head properly now. There you go. If you have faulty information, you're subject to make faulty decisions. And I can think I can prove that faulty information has played a big part of the staff's recommendation of the quota cut. The small 8 to 16 inch rockfish, and I'm not talking about 4 inch rockfish now, the 8 to 16 that we observed in Potomac River and the tributaries of Potomac River this year, 30 to summer and fall, did not spawn in year 2011. They spawned in 2009 and 2010, and I'm going to report this to you on your chart there, that Maryland showed a very low spawn during that time. Rob mentioned earlier that he had 7-8 phone calls from up our way. Well, if he'd stayed around that phone and told his secretary, said the one calling that he was gone or wasn't there, he probably had about 25 because they called him all day Friday, and they weren't commercial watermen. They were recreational fishermen. In the afternoon, you could go from Nominai, Raggedy Point, Bones Creek, Kintail, anywhere. And if you choose to, you could catch 7,500, 150 small rock. You couldn't even catch perch for the small rock in the water. But yet, Maryland don't show them on that data. That's a very important thing. I want y'all to know, I'm not making this up. You can go up there and take a survey from the people. We thought we was going to get an increase in quota, so many rock around. And boy, when we found out that we were going to get a decrease, that was really disturbing. People, paper that I showed you, we've had 39% cut in our quota since 2005. Recreational fishermen has gone, as Wayne mentioned, 11 times during that period since we started measuring the quota, and that's a calculated guess. I mean, some years it went over 900,000 pounds. And I don't mind them catching fish, but if we're in a bay area with a 10 million pound quota, and Maryland controls the Potomac River fisheries, and Maryland calls the shots, and is affecting Virginia, it's wrong. I've been fishing in that river and dealing with Maryland for 70 years. And I can tell you right now, they don't deal their cards toward them. It's always against Virginia. We couldn't even take our boat and go in the Potomac River at one time with a Virginia license on it. We'd have to have a Maryland one. Y'all don't know that. I mean, it's been that way ever since I've been born and raised there. But I'm getting off what the main thing I had to say about the Falker decision made by Falker Reports. Their survey in 2009 and 2010, and on your piece of paper that I gave you there, you have Maryland top of that harvest index year of class fish, and Virginia's at the bottom. And it shows you there that year 9 and 10 was low to them. And I'm telling you, the fish that we've seen this summer didn't get there in one year, not a 14 or 16 inch fish or 8 or 9, either one. The ones taken in Virginia show a normal spawn. This is the most small rock in the area and in the Rappahannock and Virginia rivers that we've seen for a long time. Both Virginia and Maryland show a very low spawn in 2012, but that doesn't mean that we didn't have a big one. If there was one, it happened about 6 weeks earlier than normal. Now, y'all need to listen, pay attention to this, because this is very important. The first time we fished our nets in Rappahannock last year, the male fish was dripping milk. And I've been fishing 65 years. I ought to know what that is. This doesn't usually happen until mid-March or later. And this was the 1st of February. That's 6 weeks early. Mild winter, global warming, times are changing. Merlin and Vims will have to adjust to their testing sites. Once the larva hatch, the fry and the thinglings have moved away from the same area that they've been doing for 50 years. I'm not a scientist. I don't have a degree, but I've certainly been studying things for a long time in the rivers and the bay. Merlin shows below average spawn, as I mentioned, except for 1 year. This same period of time, Virginia shows above average. So my question is, are we getting these cuts in quota because of false data, or is it because of recreation fishing going over that quota so much? I realize you don't conduct a survey of spawning fish, but you do regulate the seasons and harvest limits on the recreation fishing, which I would like to refer you to the second chart of the quota, and I've mentioned to you the overages there during those 11 years. From 2001 to 2006, there were six straight years of overharvest. One of those years was 900,000 pounds. That's almost 1 million pounds. And another one was 400,000 pounds. I've got it online there on the chart. During that time, 2005, you cut our quota 200,000 pounds. Why? What justification do you have to cut us 12% then? Now, I'd like to address the issue of estimates harvest, and you have that on that same chart. That's done by, started by MIS, MRF, SF, and then later another one joined in down there, which is a new one, which is nothing but a guess calculation. On that particular year, 2007 and 2011, that's a big joke. Charter boats in the bay are averaging 300 pounds or more to a trip, and some of them making two trips a day. Private boats that don't have charter license but accept donations are catching around 250 to 300 pounds a day. Small runner boats, 100 to 150 pounds a day. I talked to three different boats that went from my pier in Coles Point on Saturday. One had eight fish, averaging over 30 pounds. One had four fish. Two of those four fish were 44 and 47 pounds. 3 hours, one boat only caught four fish. That's all he fished. Wayne had mentioned earlier when he moved his boat, how many boats he's seen in the river. Well, I'm telling you right now, unless some staff or somebody get out and observe how many boats is fishing in the bay and how many fish they're catching and the size fish they are catching, and they look at this estimate here, you know, I can't, you know, you have plenty of boats that you can go on with the Marine Foundation and go out there and observe some of these things, but you come back in and you throw these figures up on a thing and you actually act like you believe them. And I can't see that. Jack, you know I've said this before over and over again about these estimates and these quotas for the recreation fees, and it's way off. I get a call by one of these people on the survey because I got a recreational license asking me how many times I went out and how many fees I got. And that's what they do. The other. Now, let's put the thing around the other way. You let us all these commercial fishermen in here all over the whole bay. At the end of the year, y'all call us on the telephone and tell me how, ask us how many pounds we caught. And we know that we might get our quota cut. Now, what do you think we're going to tell you? You think we're going to tell you exactly how many pounds we got? No. I don't claim to be a saint. I'm a deacon in a church, and I try to do right. But I tell you right now, that old sign you see in these stores, both all fish and alive, that's about you. Well, that's true. I can tell you that.
So how can we trust you today, sir? I'm playing around.
You can trust me by that report I gave you.
Yes, sir.
I want you to counsel for this.
That's what they say. That's what they say, yes, sir.
Okay. And who's your boss?
Attorney General of Virginia.
Yeah, I'm going to get to him now. So he's down here in my next 50 comments. And I'm going to get your card so you can get me an appointment.
I'm afraid that's beyond my control, sir.
Oh, I know somebody up there will give me one. So I just asked you. I just, you know.
I can get you in touch with somebody.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I have some people get in touch with me.
All right.
I have lawyer friends up there. And, sort of got me off my track here. I was getting ready to get wound up here now, but let's see. Let me go down here on my next line of thought. Fish are getting larger, more people fishing than ever. Y'all haven't stopped issuing recreational licenses, have you? I know they haven't done, you haven't done that.
No, we still issue licenses.
Still issuing licenses. So it's a whole lot more fish out there fishing now than it did back there when they opened up the fish. That's the point I want to make. Maryland, Potomac River, Virginia has added a trophy season in the spring, which gives them more fishing days. And they're catching the big fish, and I talked to a member of staff, and I'm not going to say his name, but he says, Doug, you know, that trophy season don't affect the fish. He says they've gone up and spawned it and spent the only way out. That staff member doesn't know that in the mid-1950s, I fished in Mattawoman, and that's where they spawned at in Potomac with my brother-in-law. They were still spawning and then right on up till the middle of May, and right after that we stopped harvesting some, catching them. So the season they have in the Potomac in Maryland, I believe it opens in first week in May. Am I correct on that? How are you shaking your head?
In April.
That's worse than what I thought it was. I know they're catching spawners going up the river. And we supposed to protect this fishing for Maryland? I don't know about that. That brings me to the point that the report shows that the recreational harvest is down there where I mentioned a while ago. They got 1 year there, 400,000 pounds of fish, and I know they're taking that out every week right now. That much every week, and they have October, November, and December, plus an extra month in the spring, catching the bigger fish, yet they're concerned about the fishery. I can hardly wait to get to the appointment with the Attorney General of Virginia, your boss, to show him pictures and the facts I have regarding the injustice watermen have experienced over the rockfish quota. Walter Cole Burroughs, who's come down here, And he would say, if you take something away from someone, you're stealing. Heard him say it a minute time, and the old boy was right. I don't know whether this is intentionally or unintentionally. I would hope it's the latter. I know Jack and Rob both over the years, and they worked very hard doing their reporting and things. But I tell you what I suspect. I don't know when they go to these meetings with Merlin and A.C. Cobner, whether they put something in their coffee or coke or whatever it is and sort of relax them and get them. Because, you know, to begin with, they got a much larger quota than we did. And
how
supposed
much
to be,
longer are you going to speak, Doug?
About one more minute.
Okay. Let's wrap up.
Okay. What we're asking for is not to have this cut. And to pay us back the 25% cut that you've taken away since 2005. That cut and what you're proposing is a 39% cut, and I wrote that on your chart there. And we don't want the money. We just want our piece that we feel like that we should have. And I don't think that's asking so much. But I understand, after we came down here, that this was a done deal. Although having the public comment and the public remarks after something is already passed and done. And this is where you step in, Council. Is that legal in the public? Yeah, you answer any way you want. I'm going to find out one way or the other.
That's fine. I'll be straight with you.
Okay.
Up until 1993, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Compact was optional. States were not required to follow it. In 1993, Congress passed the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Cooperative Management Act, which gives the ASMFC the authority to basically set quotas. And if we do not obey ASMFC's quotas under that act, as Mr. O'Reilly explained earlier, they can shut us down. And there is no fishing at all. I think that answers your question.
No, it doesn't.
What's your question then?
My question is,
is it legal? Yes, sir, it is.
Can you pass a decut and a quota and have it all sealed and done before you have a public hearing on it for those parties that are interested in it and having a monetary effect on it? Is that public law? That's what I'm asking you. I ain't asking you about ASMFC. I know what they are. But I also know what Jack and Rob and Potomac River Fishing and Maryland is doing.
Well, sir, the only way I can answer your question is in the context of what we're facing right now. And the way you're asking me the question is a little bit abstract. All I can tell you is that, and what I mean by what I'm saying is, your question is, for lack of a better way to describe it, loaded, skewed a certain way, and it doesn't account for everything that's going on here. All I'm saying is the process that the commission is following here is legal. And that's the best answer I can give you to your question.
You're saying the process they're following is legal?
Yes, sir.
Then you understood my question.
Sir? That's the best answer I can give you, sir.
Anything else, Doug?
No.
All right. Thank you for your
time. I made my point, and I hope this is on the recorder, right?
I can guarantee you it's on the recorder.
Will I get a copy of it?
No. It's on the website. You can go to the website and make your own recording.
That's all I want to know. I just want to know if it's...
There's a verbatim recording of every meeting on the website.
Yeah, all, everything.
Any other public comments on this issue? Kelly?
Good afternoon. Welcome to the new members of the commission. Haven't been here for some years. Basically, my name's Kelly Place. I'm a commercial fisherman. I represented Virginia on the ASMFC Striped Bass Advisory Panel for the last 14 or 15 years, and about 4 years ago they suckered me into being chair and then tricked me into another term, so I try to keep up with this a lot. I will echo the comment that one person earlier made that I only found out about this about 2 days ago. I think someone had mentioned something to me, and I should have pursued it. I didn't realize that's what they were talking about, but it did seem poorly advertised. Well, I don't fault VMRC for that. It's not always easy to get these advertisements out into the circle that other people will pick them up. Although I do wish that I'd heard about this 14% reduction, since I have been trying to represent Virginia's commercial on the ASMC advisory panel for all these years. I'm very reluctant to go against the recommendations of Joe or Rob or Jack. I know they spent many years on this, and I trust them not to be arbitrary and capricious. I know they don't want to close fisheries or reduce quotas, but I do have a couple questions, so I'm not going to do that. But I do have a couple questions that would help enlighten me somewhat, since I never really, until just now, saw these parts. I think it's incomplete with the science that's behind this proposal. One is, if we don't take a 14% quota cut, would that put us out of compliance? I walked in right after this had started, so because as you mentioned, at the November annual meeting in Boston, which I was at, they had been considering a rather large coastwide quota. Now, of course, that was coastwide, not really for the bay, because the bay quota, as was mentioned earlier, is managed as a whole separate from the coastal quota. But they were looking at severe reductions, and it was the 2011 Young of the Year Index that came in at an all-time high in Virginia, all-time high in not just the James, but the York and the Rappahannock, too, as well as other large, if not record, Young of the Year indices in other states. So that did forestall that big coast-wide cut that they were considering, although 40% was, I think, the worst they were considering. They were also considering 10 and 20. But would we be out of compliance if we don't take a 14% cut for this upcoming fishing year? Would that put us out of compliance? Because I don't recall any thing like that. Or is that something that...
We have to abide by the harvest control model.
Okay. And
the
harvest
control model sets the quota for Maryland and Virginia and the Potomac River. That's what we're required under the management plan to adopt.
Right.
So you're putting yourself in a position of being declared out of compliance if you don't adopt.
So staff and the analysis of the various analyses of the harvest control model, I assume then, because I did not get this impression from any of the previous meetings, but their analyses show that we will become out of or eventually lead to a finding of non-compliance if we don't take this 14%, because we'll exceed the quotas.
If you adopt the quota, you're probably going to be declared out of compliance.
Well, is this an ASMFC? I mean, I almost had the impression that this was almost a preemptive effort on the Bay jurisdiction's part. This was very poorly advertised, because you know how much I try to keep up with this, and I had no idea that the Bay jurisdictions were even meeting to consider this. So
they meet every year.
Okay. I just did not know that. I was just very surprised at the 14%.
This process that we're going through is no different than what we've gone through for the last 15, 16 years. It's the same.
I guess I just sort of got out of the loop here, because one thing, and I'd like to bring up here earlier, also in Joe and Rob's presentation, they had mentioned that before the fishery was opened in 1990, the criteria that was set forth to allow the coastwide fishery to open was that they had to have 3 consecutive years with an average of 8 in the Young of the Year Index. And it was the 89-year class they mentioned where there was a Young of the Year Index of 25. So just that year by itself averaged 8 over 3 years. And they opened it, and they showed you the history of ups and downs and quota increases and deductions. But as I look at the whole list of Young of the Year indices, even with the poor one in 2012, which I did notice this article in the National Fisherman. I hope you all did read that. And It looks to me that the average is still around 8 or more. I didn't have time to do it on a calculator, but aren't we still at that desirable average of 8 on the Young of the Year?
You're confusing how ASMFC sets the
coastwide quotas
in the other states.
Okay.
Versus how we're required to set them in Chesapeake Bay.
Right. So the Young of the Year, the Maryland Young of the Year index that everything was pinned on as far as opening, closing, and taking actions in the fishery is not it does not control what happens in the bay fishery? That's only for the coastal quota?
The harvest control model controls what happens in the bay.
Okay. And I guess I'll need to do a little more research on that. But one other thing, I sense or gather from the presentation that was made that the increase in natural mortality, which was, 0.15 historically, I think you showed on the chart, largely as a result of the mycobacteriosis, that it had gone up to about 0.8. Is that what it was in there? Has that been proven? Because obviously we've been batting about all these various myco studies.
That's still going to have to be evaluated in the next stock assessment. It doesn't enter into the harvest control model at this
point. That's just a caveat for the future that could cause lower.
That's a concern that the board is going to be looking at.
Okay.
And has been looking at.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and I knew that they had been looking at that for quite some time, but I was a little bit disturbed to see portrayed something as high, as many times higher than the previous assumption of natural mortality. To see if that high, because it kind of indicated some level of certainty when that certainty isn't there. And I'm as worried as anyone about mycobacteriosis and whether premature deaths or possibly impacts to spawning or any other thing in the life cycle of the striped bass. But I hope you'll keep everyone informed as those numbers get firmed up, because they are critical, obviously, could affect the quota for years to come. But I would caution, it seemed like that you were indicating that was a little bit of certainty on that part. And have they even determined that they die from, that the eventual outcome of the myco is death, and they got some percentage, or is it like all of them die? Or?
Talk to John Honig. He can answer your questions on that.
Okay.
He's done a lot of research in that area.
Last thing, I'm going to wrap this up. A sense that not just with striped bass, but a lot of other species, and it happens in Virginia, it happens in all the states, but ASMFC, that striped bass, for example, when they got to the high in about, they were declared recovered in 95, and they reached the high in about 2006, I think, and then they've come down slightly, but they're still at very high levels. There seems to be this push to keep a perpetually high level of whatever stock is in question, which is impossible. You obviously can't keep it, and there's obviously all the different species are balanced against each other in the food chain. If you have huge numbers of bluefish, you'll probably have lower numbers of trout or striped bass. But I do feel that the bar is being set so high on keeping many of these indices at unrealistic levels, many of which I don't think have ever historically been achieved, that I think striped bass is one example. I think we're trying to achieve levels that just can't be achieved and still keep the various species in balance in the ecosystem. And the last thing I guess I'll mention is that we'll never get out of this hole if the recreational fishery isn't controlled better. Obviously, the commercial fishery under the ITQ, it's a hard quota. It's a good way to do it. BMRC's been really good at almost always hitting the quota. It's been remarkable how accurate they've been. But on the other hand, the recreational fishery is controlled by a different model. And while I'm sure there's some sorts of penalties that come about when they exceed whatever the mortality rate they're supposed to be allowed to inflict on the population, for the life of me, I can't tell. It doesn't seem that they get a commensurate impact from their excesses of harvest. I mention that because, and I'm not proposing that recreationals be on ITQs, but there really does need to be some, especially with the illegal harvest that's going on recreationally out in the EEZ, which Jack and Rob know a lot about, but it's just huge. We believe it's over 1 million pounds a year that aren't even reported.
It might be that some kind of ITQ or quota system might be something for the some of the recreational fisheries. Maybe not all of them. I'll mention that about 8-9 years ago, the Australian Parliament put a bunch of their recreational fisheries under ITQs because they were having the same kind of problem. Right, managing the commercial side under hard quotas, which was relatively successful, but having these models where there's really no penalty for exceeding the mortality rate. And I think that a lot of that's going on with the recreational fishery. And I support the recreational fishery. It's a good thing. I'm not against the recreational fishery, but it does seem that a lot of their overages over their years, especially the cumulative overage, which I noticed Mr. Jenkins printed out a chart. He came, I haven't added this up, but over 3.5 million pounds of cumulative overage. Doesn't seem to come out of that sector. It seems that whenever something goes wrong, it's usually the commercial that are hit first. So I don't want to come and go directly against the staff recommendation because I know they worked so hard on this, and there are a lot of other issues that I'd like to bring up, but this probably isn't the right time. But I would like to ask the one question. Is it imperative that a 14% reduction take place now? Is there would something like a 7% and look and see how the stocks, as you mentioned, ASMFC and VMRC looks at the numbers and reanalyzes them each year. 14%
Kelly, if we could take a cut other than 14, you know, I'd be recommending that myself. I'm sure we wouldn't have taken the 12% cut back in 2005 if it were up to us.
But yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not the case.
Which I'm sure you remember when before the harvest control model, when they were going on the virtual population analysis, just to give you an idea of how shaky some of these projections are, especially in future years, as you can look back and see how accurate the decisions that were made on the various assumptions and analyses. About 10 years ago, as you remember, when the threshold level, I guess, was 0.30, they came up on the virtual population analysis, which is what they were using to control our fishery. They came up with a rate of 0.62, which was twice the target mortality. Now, that should, had it been accurate, have closed the fishery down practically, period. But it was so high, even though they couldn't tell where the errors were, it was so high that they, well, we can't close the fishery, there must be a mistake. And the problem with the models like that, like the BPA, and from what I understand, also the harvest control model, is as time goes on, they do what's called hind casting, basically, and it becomes more accurate over time. But to me, it's like 20/20 vision. Of course, as they tweak the model and you go over time, they, you know, can more accurately figure what's already transpired. It's like 20/20 vision, but I'm just concerned that with the harvest control model, very much like with the previous models that have been used, they have a bias toward estimating a higher mortality than there is. And we can prove this by looking at what happened in the subsequent years. On all these models, over time, the analysis of mortality has come down over time. So there's an inherent bias to of a higher mortality, but I would like to see some sort of compromise. I'll leave it at that. I know you guys have worked hard, and like I said, I trust you all to do the right thing, but I have noticed that bump in 2011, as Jack and Rob mentioned, as it goes through the system, we might see increases in quota in the future as those fish come in or recruited to the stock, but we've been told that a lot of times before, and sure, there were 2 years we got 3% back and we got 6%, but for some reason, the percentage cuts that come about, even though we're assured that later, as the various high year classes move through the system, there are more fish are recruited into the fishery, that we'll get those back.
Yeah, we can't predict what kind of increase you're going to get from that 2012, obviously. I mean, we'll know soon enough. Part of the problem is right behind it is that really poor year class. So you're probably going to see a blip up in quota, and then it's going to come right back down.
2012. Right behind it, sure.
Right.
Okay, look, if you guys are absolutely sure that it's necessary to keep them going out of compliance, that's not the way that I read it, and I do wish it was better advertised, but I do thank you all for your work and your
time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Who's next? Yes, sir.
Time limits? No.
My name is George Trice. I'm a commercial fisherman. And I feel like that we're paying for the recreational overage every year. And it shouldn't be all on us to get the cuts. I mean, they're not cut on their days they can fish. When they throw a lure over, they don't know what they're going to catch. And they go out there, they fish all day. I've caught more filleted rock in the last 4 years in Lower Bay than I've ever caught. So you're not stopping them. You're just helping them. They're filleting them on the boat instead of at home. And the only way to stop them is cut their days where they can't fish. Cut them back 14% of their days. If you have to cut us back, because what we got is written in stone, we don't go over. We have to account for every pound that we catch. So y'all know what we catch, and y'all don't have a clue what they're doing. I can go out there on a calm day when it's real slick, and I can pick 20 fish up behind a fleet of recreational boats fishing that high grading or discarding or whatever y'all want to call it. And if we have to be cut, we ought to be cut fair, 50-50, like you give it to us, not them have a slot limit for 2 weeks out of the year or whatever they do. But it ought to be even. They ought to. And when they start getting the cuts like we've been getting, maybe they'll want more quota, and they won't worry about it as bad.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, the hearing is closed. Staff, any really brief comments to respond to anyone?
Well, I can certainly understand everyone's upsetment, and a couple of things are, one, what staff has learned today is we need to change how this goes. So for 15 years, we've been entrusted to come up with these quotas from 1996 all the way to here. And frankly, we are guests in Maryland's house for this model. So we have to wait for them. It's not as if we don't call Maryland and say, by the way, when can we have the results of the harvest control model, or even as I've done, go up to Maryland and work with Maryland to derive those estimates. So a lot of times when we receive that information, it is late in the year, just like now. We're working towards getting a September, early October, we've already talked to Maryland DNR, projection of these quotas coming out of the harvest control model. That will free us up to come to FMAC, show them what we have, go from there. Also, it'll give time for the commission in its first meeting, because there are two meetings for any item, to see what's there as well. The 14% reduction wasn't the worst reduction that we looked at. With the harvest control model, you have different fishing mortality rates because there's different types of tagging. There's different types of programs to get your fishing mortality rate. The 14% was about in the middle. It's about the best that the three jurisdictions could agree to that they could go forward. While everyone was talking about noncompliance, including me, one thing I thought back is, if you can be practical for a second, look back to 1996. We received these quota increases not because of the virtual population analysis, but because Amendment 5 allowed the states to increase their commercial quotas within what was then called the producer area, and we're a producer area. Had we not have the harvest control model, you would have seen this amount of quota every year from now until 2013. So 2013 is the first year which is actually less than the quota we would have if we didn't have the harvest control model, because there haven't been increases for producer area for the bay for quotas. There have been for the coastal area. And for our coastal area, got an increase for the coastal states. We're unique in that we have a producer area. So we very well could have been stagnant from here until now. Another thing to consider is maybe as opposed to not being in compliance, if Virginia says we can't do the 14% reduction, I'm sure that Maryland and PRFC could say, well, what are you going to use? And you would have to say that too. We don't have a back plan here. We don't have a way to generate our own quota. We combine the Maryland and the Virginia juvenile abundance indices. We're working together. If we're on our own, we don't have anything. We can't tell you what your quota would be. So those are some practicalities. The only other thing, there were just a few comments which I want to address. Right here is one of them. No one's paying back for anything. The Baywide quota has not been exceeded since 1997, if you take this back. If there are qualms about the recreational fishery impinging upon the commercial fishery, that hasn't happened yet. That doesn't mean there hasn't been a lot of work by this commission from 2004 to the present to try and get the recreational fishery to come closer to its harvest quota. A harvest quota for recreational fisheries is an odd thing anyway, but the commission has made many attempts. The no-take slot limit was in place from 2005 through 2011, and the last 2 years were very poor because the recreational fishery, 85% of it, occurs in November and December. So those are two points just to consider, and there are other points, and I think you know you have to be respectful to everyone's opinion of the way things should be, but we would rather say next year we're going to do everything we can to have information to the Fishery Management Advisory Committee so they can get a look at what is being faced.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Rob. The matter is before the commission.
I have one
yes.
question, of Rob, just to make sure we're all straight on this. When we have this 14% quota, I've heard testimony today that said that it was only commercial watermen that were going to pay that back. It's commercial and recreational,
same
correct?
Same quota for recreational, same quota for commercial. I believe, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think Maryland provides the recreational fishery a little bit more than the commercial fishery, is what I recall. We've always been 50-50, as one of our speakers said.
Okay.
And we will have to adjust the recreational season's limits or something.
We will have to look at what happens because we have a lot of time from now. The current fishery, which really is just underway, December is a big month for recreational. So there'll be plenty of time if adjustments are needed to be made.
Right.
Unlike the commercial fishery, which is going to start January 16th now.
Right, but we'll be looking at that next year. So
absolutely.
It's not that these people are unregulated.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir, Mr. Peck.
I mean, understanding that we could be in a position to adjust recreational and commercial, so we could lower the recreational and raise the commercial. Would we have that privilege?
No, sir. I think what will happen is what's going on today will set the 2013 commercial season and the quota. If we find out through this end of December, by the time we get the information back from National Marine Fisheries Service on the recreational fishery, you're looking at early March, late February, early March. That will give us time to say if there was a quota overage this year for recreational. If they're getting close to that 1.2 million this year, then the commission can look at measures coming up for the fall, starting October 4th, of the recreational fishery in 2013. That could be done in July, for example.
We can't do it now.
No, sir. We don't have the information yet to judge that on. We're going to set the quota lower already.
That's their 2012 season.
Right. 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 The quota is going to be set the same as the commercial quota for 2013.
Any other questions, comments? What's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, obviously this is not a popular decision. And I think the staff has done an excellent job explaining the basis for it. This is a public hearing. We've heard from the public. I think the choices were not good. Did mean that there wasn't a public hearing and a fair hearing held. But I certainly understand the commercial fishermen's concern with having the quota reduced. And I certainly ask that we try to bring this back before the board in a timely manner so that it can be well publicized and we can review this again as quickly as possible for these gentlemen. But having said that, I will move to adopt the recommendations of staff on this issue.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Tankard. Comments on the motion?
Sadly, I think we have very little choice for this year.
And staff has placed the entire recommendation upon
this. This will include the season extension for an additional 2 weeks and the changes in the mesh size of gillnets.
Yes, sir.
Ready to vote? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.